It has been a great joy to be here at Worth Baptist Church for a missions conference. I was just saying to Pastor a few minutes ago as I look at the great crowd here tonight, I've been in some places and they don't have evening services anymore. And they tell me, they say, well, people just won't come to church on Sunday night. And I think, well, you've been to different churches than I go to. And then I always tell them, and you're right, if you don't have services, they won't come, okay? And this is a great group of people here tonight, and thank you for coming. And I've enjoyed the mission conference so much. And when I am with Brother Tyler Jellett, I always think of a great preacher. I never will forget the first time I heard him preach, and I was literally amazed that somebody that young could preach that well. Now, a lot of old preachers have the idea when most of us are out of here, then we're in bad shape. But I thank God that I know a lot of young preachers that are great preachers, and thank God for them. And you people at Worth Baptist Church are fortunate indeed. Amen. To have a wonderful, godly preacher. And anytime you hear one of his messages, guess what? You know he hasn't been out playing golf. Okay, he has been in the Word of God. And he's a great expository preacher. So let's give our pastor a hand tonight, okay? I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And look at chapter 7, if you would. Chapter 7. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 9. So if you would able or are able and would like to stand for the reading of God's word to honor that word tonight, please do that, and don't feel bad if you cannot stand. I can sympathize with you. I can not only sympathize with you, I can empathize with you, okay? I'm there sometimes, okay? Look at verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. You have your Bibles open? Amen. Would you read that 12th verse with me again? And let's read it loud enough to think that when the Dallas Cowboys scored a touchdown and all those people went crazy, that they'll sound like a quiet bunch compared to us reading this tonight. All right, so use your voice and let's read together verse 12, okay? Saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and honor and power and might be unto our God forever. Amen. That was absolutely phenomenal. I never hit a home run when I was in Little League or any other league. I never scored a touchdown, and I scored very few baskets in baseball. So I don't get a lot of noise like that when I'm playing. But thank you for that tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. You are a great God. You are omnipotent. You are omniscient. There's nothing that you do not know. There's nothing that you cannot do. You're the God of all mercy. You're the God of all grace. You're the God that comforts. You're the God that will, has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Now, Lord, I'd like to honor you by preaching tonight, but the only way I can do that is that your Holy Spirit will fill me and use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on heaven. Years ago, Dr. Mark Rasmussen gave me a book, and the name of the book was Unbroken. Many of you have probably read that book. Now, it is one of the hardest reads I have ever read in my life. And it was the story of Louis Zamperini. Louis Zamperini joined the Air Force early in the days of World War II. And one day when they were flying, his airplane was shot down. And somehow he managed to get a part of that airplane as a raft. Now, this is unheard of, but for 47 days, think about that, 47 days, he survived on that raft out in the Pacific Ocean. And finally, when he drifted up on an island, it was occupied by Japanese. And they took him and beat him day after day. They finally shipped him to a concentration camp in Japan. And he went through one of the most horrible situations that anybody could possibly think of. Eventually, when the war was over, he was released from the concentration camp and went home. And when he got back to America, he had nightmares constantly. You can imagine being in a concentration camp like that. And he drank a lot, and he was on all kind of dope and so forth. He got addicted to all that. And his wife said to him one day, "Louis, there's a man having a tent meeting in our city, Los Angeles. And I have been to that meeting, and I would like for you to go with me." And eventually, Louis decided, "Okay, I'll go with you." And he went, and he heard Dr. Billy Graham preaching in that tent meeting. That was the beginning of the great ministry of that man of God. And when they started the invitation, he got up and left. And his wife persuaded him, "Please go one more time." And he said, "Well, I will, but when they start singing that 'Just As I Am,' I'm leaving, okay?" And so he went again, and when they began the invitation, he got up to leave. But then he said, "I thought within myself, if what that man is telling me is true, if Jesus Christ died for me, if he loved me enough to leave heaven in all of its glory and come to this earth and suffer and bleed and die for my sin, then I am the most unthankful person on the face of the earth." And rather than going out of the tent, he went forward. And somebody took the Bible and showed him how he could know he was saved and going to heaven. And Louis Zamperini got saved. And he said, "I went home that night, and for the first time since I was in the concentration camp, I did not have a nightmare." The amazing grace of God. As I was reading the book Unbroken, I knew that eventually something good happened. And so it was so hard to read all the things he went through that every once in a while I would turn to the back of the book just to see that eventually something happened. Do any of you remember the days when they had math books and the teacher would give out the math books on the first day of school? And then the teacher would always say, "Now, the answers to the math problems are in the back of the book, but don't look there." That was wasted breath. Because every time you got hung up on a math problem, you would look at the book. So many times, I mean, just day by day, you go through things, all kind of problems and trials and disappointments and so forth. And so what I do many times is I turn to the back of the book. And guess what? We win. Look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. Somehow, somebody has the idea that there's only going to be a few people in heaven. In fact, I know some people that think like this. I'm not sure about anybody except you and me. And I'm not real sure about you, okay? And somebody as well said, if you get to heaven and you see somebody there that you didn't think would be there, don't look too surprised, because they may just be as surprised to see you, okay? Now, I'm not exaggerating, and the Bible does not exaggerate. And the Bible says, I beheld a great multitude which no man could number. And think about it. Where did all these people come from? Where did all these people in heaven come from? Look at verse 9 again. I beheld a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations. By the way, this ought to give us encouragement to get involved in missions. Amen. All ethnic groups. That's exactly what the word nations means there. And kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne, and the Lamb clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. Think about it. Heaven is going to be a place of great diversity. I was born and reared in Kentucky. And for many years in my life, I went to a church where only white people were there, and people that spoke English. And I've often thought, heaven is not going to be like that. I mean, there's going to be people from every ethnic group, every speech, every tongue, every nation are going to be. There's going to be a great variety of people in heaven. And look at it. Where did they come from? They came from all over the world. Pastor, just offhand, and you're not here. I thought, man alive, the rapture is shaking, and we got left. Approximately how many missionaries do you have now, Pastor? 211 missionaries. Now you think about it. When you give to Faith Promise, you are having a part in 211 different ministries. Think about that. And these people are speaking all kind of languages, and they're in all kind of ethnic groups and so forth. And so the Bible says, and I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms. And then notice, how did they get there? How did all of this great multitude of people get to heaven? Listen to their cry. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. By the way, everybody in heaven got there the same way. Somehow we have the idea that people in the Old Testament got saved one way, people in the New Testament get saved another. No, no, no. Every person that is in heaven tonight got saved by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. People in the Old Testament looked forward to the coming of Jesus. And the prophecies where they prophesied that Jesus would come and be born of a virgin and live a perfect life and suffer and bleed and die on Calvary for the sins of the whole world. They looked forward to that. Yeah. And now we in this church age, we look back at the cross and see the same thing that they saw. So everybody in heaven got there the same way, by the grace of God. Not a person in heaven is ever going to boast about, well, I did so many good works. I was a good Baptist. And you ought to be a good Baptist, okay? But that's not going to get you to heaven, okay? I tithe, and you ought to tithe. I gave the faith promise, and you ought to give the faith promise. But none of those things get you to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith. The first verse I memorized in the Bible was that verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I remember the night I got saved, my pastor took his New Testament and gave me a little New Testament and underlined those two verses in that. And then he said, and we was in the midst of a revival meeting, and he said, now, Don, when you come to church tomorrow night, I want you to have memorized those verses. And I went home that night, and with the use of a kerosene lamp, you'll know how old I am when you hear that, amen. We did not have electricity in my house until I was a senior in high school. Now, that's the reason I can't read and write, okay? But I went home, and I began to look at that verse, and I took my New Testament to church, to school the next day, and went over it and over it. When I got there to the meeting that night, Brother Ratliff said, okay, Don, did you memorize the verses? And I said, I sure did. And they've always meant so much to me. I say them over and over, for by grace. Grace is God's unmerited love. We did not deserve it. For by grace are you saved. Saved. Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from the power of sin. Amen. And thank God one day we will be saved from the presence of sin. Because there's going to come a time when we'll be taken to heaven. And thank God we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. How did they get there? They got there the same way you and I got there, by the grace of God. What are you going to do in heaven? Have you ever seen a picture? I'm sure you have. The dumbest picture I've ever seen. That in heaven, here is a man floating around on a cloud, playing a harp. And I've looked at that picture many times and thought, I can't even play the radio without getting static. So I'm not musical at all. And not only that, I wouldn't trust that cloud, amen? Now, thank God that's not heaven. How did they get there? They got there by the grace of God. What are they doing? Look at verse 11. And all the angels stood about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Now, We have some great worship services. I've heard some great singing here at Worth Baptist Church this week. And they are very conducive to the preaching of God's word. And that's wonderful. But can you imagine when we see Jesus face to face? Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what shall it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me.
Amen.
By the way, in the New Testament, every time Jesus appeared, people fell on their faces and worshiped him. What are we going to be doing in heaven? Number one, according to verse 11, we're going to be worshiping. But look down at verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor the heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What are we going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be worshiping. What are we going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be working. I heard a man that obviously didn't like women. And one time I heard him say, if it had not been for Eve taking a bite of that apple, we would have never had to work. And I thought, okay, you're dumb. You've never read the Bible. Even before Eve and Adam and Eve sinned, God had given them something to do. I can't imagine being in a place where I could not do something for God. What are we going to be doing? We're going to be worshiping. But we're going to be worshiping. We're going to be working. I want you to turn your Bibles for just a few minutes tonight to Revelation chapter 21. And you can't think about heaven without thinking about this chapter. And chapter 21 of Revelation. You have your Bibles open. Look at it. The writer John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Think about that. I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. So wonder where it came. It came to the earth. Did you ever sing this song? And please relax, okay? I'm not going to sing. This world is not my home. I'm just a traveling through. And by the way, this world is going to be your home. Amen. It's going to be your eternal home. Because I hope the holy city coming down from God. And of course, it comes down to this earth. So this is going to be our eternal home. How did they get there? They got there by the grace of God. What are they doing? They're worshiping. They're working. And listen to Revelation 21. I like verse 5 particularly, okay? But look at it. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, The tabernacle of God, God's dwelling place, is with men. And he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Isn't that amazing? God himself. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. And I heard a voice, great voice out of him. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. Now think about this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Think about it. Hardly ever a day passes, and maybe never a day passes, but what I do not read something or hear something that makes me weep. I mean, that's just life. But think about it. In heaven, there will be no more tears. God will wipe away all tears. And then he goes on to say, there shall no more death. There shall be no more death. In heaven, there won't be a need for an undertaker. And by the way, there won't be a need for a preacher. Because the people are already in heaven, okay? In heaven, there'll be no more death. Neither sorrow. Can you imagine going through one day without having any sorrow whatsoever? And yet, that's what the Bible said. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. How many of you admit to being at least 40 years of age? Would you lift your hand? All right. With your hands lifted, just think about this. Can you imagine living one day without pain? Somewhere, you know. And pain is just a natural thing. But in heaven, there'll be no more pain. Can you imagine living without pain? Neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. All those things are passed away. Hey, we're in heaven, amen. Think about it. When we get to heaven, all of this will be true. Now, look at verse 5. This is interesting to me. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I can't help but think that maybe here, after John hearing all of this, no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, that John was just sitting there and he wasn't writing, and he's thinking, that's too good to be true. And by the way, it things are sound too good to be true. Most of the time, they're not true. But thank God, it's true. It's right here in the Word of God. These were, and listen to what the Spirit of God said. And he said unto me, write it down. For these things are true and faithful. How did they get there? They got there by the grace of God. What are they doing? They're worshiping. They're working. In Revelation 21, 5, tells us what a wonderful place it's going to be. The writer evidently could not imagine a place where there was no death, no sorrow, no crying, no more pain, because all those things are passed away. In the Bible, we have the phrase, and it came to pass over 350 times. It came to pass. Whatever you're going through tonight, it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. And it may take a long time. And it may not be till we get to heaven that it will pass. But it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. All tears wiped away. Being in the presence of God, we'll see Him. We'll talk with Him. We'll fellowship with Him. And the writer of Hebrews said, write. This is not fiction. This is true and faithful.
Amen.
Write it down. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for heaven. I thank you, dear Lord, that you have said in your word, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Lord, we believe that one day the trumpet's going to sound. The archangel is going to shout. The trumpet will blow. And every born-again child of God will be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord in the air. And we would pray what John did when he said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, we know that your coming may not be immediate, but it is imminent. It could happen any moment. It could happen tonight. It could happen before we leave this building tonight. So, Lord, help us to honor you and praise you and be where we ought to be, so that when you come, we'll not be ashamed. We'll be ready to meet you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the opportunity to preach here at Worth Baptist Church. Now speak to hearts tonight. Somebody's well said, everybody's talking about heaven, ain't going to heaven. Question as the pastor comes, do you know you're saved and going to heaven? Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Are you sure that you're going to heaven? You can be. John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to hope. You don't have to think. You can know. Do you know for sure tonight you're saved and going to heaven?